Adam Morrison here. When it comes to top-tier contracting, my go-to choice is McGilvery Environmental. They're not just any contractor, they're the best in Spokane and North Idaho. With years of experience, they handle it all. New construction, meticulous repairs, and asphalt overlays. From start to finish, they ensure your project is completed with the highest quality end results. And here's the scoop for this year. McGilvery Environmental has expanded its services to include asphalt paving. That means top-notch commercial parking lots, residential driveways, and road construction. So, ready to kickstart your project? Reach out to Kip at McGilvery Environmental by calling 208-556-6384 for your free estimate. Don't forget to mention my name, Adam from the Perimeter, and experience the difference that McGilvery Environmental brings to the table. Again, that's 208-556-6384, McGilvery Environmental. My number one choice for all my contracting needs. The Perimeter would like to thank our sponsor, HDG Architecture. HDG is a Spokane-based architectural firm whose aesthetic can be described as an understatement of badassery, an idea that sets the standard for their approach to every client and every project decision. The world is full of poorly designed spaces, and HDG wants to change that. Check out some of their award-winning work at studiohdg.com. Welcome to The Perimeter, Season 3, Episode 13, presented by McGilvery Environmental. Here with Brendan, the producer. This could be an interesting one today. I think I'm going to kind of dive into what I think some of the issues are, not just three-point shooting on this club right now. We just came off a loss versus Santa Clara at their place. Chance to really take control of the lead to go 3-0. Obviously, Santa Clara now is 3-0. Tough one. We talked about it. They always have great crowds. It's a harder place to play, quote unquote, in the WCC. But I thought our effort and focus was just not there to start the game. It was lackadaisical. And it was kind of, shocking to say, for a team that's kind of, we're 10-5 now. We gotta stack some of these wins together.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to go to the NCAA tournament and make a deep run that we've done in the last, two decades.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was a little bit disappointed in that. Now I understand things are not going to go your way. Bad shooting starts can happen, but I'm talking about effort plays, being on the glass, being concise with your shot selection and your decision making. I always say it when we're on the road. It's called road mentality. I know it's cliche, but if you've never played before, if you were on good teams that played before, we're hyper focused to start road games. Wide eyed, bushy tailed, or whatever the term is. And that's what my high school coach used to say, but it's so true. And we just didn't have that, and it was a little bit disappointing. Just as a fan and somebody that's, obviously close to the program, that we didn't have guys that were, kind of ready to go. Watching the game, what were your initial thoughts at the start of the game?
They just looked very not. They didn't look like they were there.
Yeah,
like they looked off. They didn't have any spark. I just didn't. They just felt flat. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. No, I think flat was the perfect description for how they played and kind of the effort. We get in that first media timeout, it's the under 16. So basically five minutes usually. And we're down, I think it was 9-2 or 8-2. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was kind of like, man, we're really going to do this, guys. You know what I mean? It's not like, and like I said, it wasn't that we just missed shots. It's like, you could just tell like our cuts were soft and lazy. We were lazy on box outs, and that's just in the first 5 minutes. You're like, come on, guys, like you're not good enough.
Yeah,
no team is good enough to flip a switch. Maybe the team that went to the championship game with Kispert and all them and Suggs, that was a team that could flip a switch, and they rarely did that though,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. they had kind of a want to as a group. Not saying this team doesn't, but it looks like it's kind of frayed sometimes, where there's not a consistent singular goal. And I don't know if that's, you know, but I keep going back to that because I keep looking at some of the last month's games, and it's just like, you know, lack of effort, and there's no, you know, spark, and there's no, you know, guys diving on the floor for each other, and, and you know, just being excited for each other. And I don't think it's a selfish thing. I just think it's nobody's like a vocal leader on this club.
Mm.
That's where I've thought about it for about a week, basically, or whatever, after this loss. And I'm like, so who is our vocal leader? And I'm like, well, Ryan could be one, but he's new.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fair. Half a season here. I say Graham could be one. Same thing. Half a season here.
Mm-hmm.
Nolan's just a quiet kid. Anton is just not his, kind of his personality. And I don't think he has to be thrust into that role. Now the counter is like, oh, he's a senior. It's like, yeah, but he's been like a support player, a really good one, especially last, counting this year, last year, and then this year. And I'll get into how good he was Saturday.
Mm.
But that's not just who he, I mean, he was like that in high school. He's just a quiet dude. Mm-hmm. And it's not a bad thing, but sometimes people's personality is who they are, and you don't have to, like, you know, was it square peg in a round hole or whatever?
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't totally want to force it. And he's kind of a lead by example guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I get into that, and I'm like, well, are they, you know, is there not a common understanding in the locker room, like how, you know, hard you have to play on the road and how, you know, physical you have to be and how focused you have to be?
Mm.
Because it definitely wasn't there in the first half. To only be down 6 was a flat miracle. We were down 18 on the glass.
Yeah.
In the first half.
Yeah, that was a big stat.
Which is insane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually we're a team that prides themselves on, you know, trying to win plus 10 on the glass and have a plus 10 margin. We've been good this year, but that looked like an effort deal there in the first half. And like I said, I don't know how we were only down 6. I think it was it 40 to 34?
Yeah.
Yeah, 40 to 34. So it was kind of like you're like, you know, this is a, we got to look at the positive. Like, all right, we're in this game. We shouldn't or could be completely out of this game. So we're lucky that we're, doing a good job. And that was all spurred by Anton offensively. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had 32 on the night, but he was just fantastic in the first half as well. 14 of 18 overall for the game, which is nuts. 9 rebounds. Did have 5 turnovers, but whatever. He's handling the ball more than he probably should be. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Threw it to him every time down. So sometimes I'm always like, usage rate matters for turnovers. 6 steals. I think he broke the record, or isn't he close? I think he got the second all-time last game or whatever.
I think he's close. I think that's what – I believe that's what Huddy said.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. But, yeah, it's pretty cool that he's going to have that. But
yeah, totally.
You just keep looking like, man, he really plays good, you know, on-ball defense and steals and stuff. Made all of his free throws, but – if it wasn't for him in the first half, we were literally down 20. I mean, nobody could score, couldn't shoot, just didn't have anything going. And like I said, it just looked lack of effort, man. And I hate to say that, but I'm getting to that point where there's certain losses like Purdue, great effort,
really
absolutely
good, yeah.
Great effort. UConn. Just a better team, one of those. Yeah, you play. Then they played harder. Okay, but just a kind of a juggernaut.
Yeah.
UW, pretty good effort for about 35 minutes. Mental layers down the stretch. You know what I'm saying? But I'm never going no effort.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego State. That's the one where I'm like, well, you kind of got pushed around. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm starting to get to where I'm hoping guys understand that. You have to have a little bit more focus, man, coming into these games. And I hate to be just critical, but it just wasn't there. And it was frustrating to watch. Going into the second half, it was like, okay.
the Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, Greens. How's everything going today?
Hey, Robert. We're good. Just checking in on that car loan we applied for.
No worries. Let me pull that up. Yep. Looks like you're approved and all set.
Hey, that's great news.
So, you headed over to the dealership now?
Yep. Just gotta make one stop first.
And we got a great rate, too.
Going into the second half, it was like, okay, you know, played bad. 1-for-12 from three in the first. It's like, oh, God, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Shot it okay in the first. 43%. It's not great, but it's not like, you know, you're in the upper 30. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can survive on that 15 or 35. So you're like, okay, you know, only down six, and Santa Clara hasn't beat us in this 27 times in a row or 26 times in a row, so they're going to figure out a way to shit their pants. You know, that's what you think.
That's what you think.
Yeah, that's what you think with all these, a lot of these WCC teams. You're like, oh, they're going to figure out a way that the piss down their leg, and, you know, we're going to steal one and laugh and then try to get better at it. So, you know, going into the second, it was like, okay, you know, you get chewed out in the locker room, you chew each other out. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it should be. It's like, hey, yeah, it should be a team-led thing, not Fewey. Like, hey, man, what the hell is going on? Like, we're getting beat by 18 on the glass. Like, this is embarrassing. We need to get going. Come on. You know, all those things, like, those are team-led things. And for the most part, to start that second half, we weren't good at all as well. Like, it was the energy was terrible to come out in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm just starting to wonder, like, you know, I know the staff prepares these guys. They have for 20 years. I've watched this guy. It's never a scheme thing. It really isn't.
Mm.
And I'm just, that's not a homage to my former coach and whatever, and teammates that are coaches now.
Mm-hmm.
They know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
It's not a question of being prepared and understanding having a plan for these teams and these opposite personnels. It is, to me, it's starting to look like, is the guys starting to understand that, you know, the value of playing hard right away, getting each other going, holding each other accountable, playing for each other, right? That's another thing that people misunderstand. Sometimes, you know, you think if you have a coach, you're playing for the coach of the university, you should be playing for each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, screw the other stuff. You know, hold each other accountable, that type of thing. And it looked the same coming out of the second half, and I was just shaking my head. I'm like, what is going on? Like, just getting killed on the glass. They had a kid that had 5 offensive rebounds in the first half that literally plays like 5 minutes a game.
Oh, really?
Number 44, whatever his name is. Can you say that name? Ensminger?
Yeah.
Like, literally doesn't play.
Yeah.
And had 5 offensive rebounds in the first half. Like, killed us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a guy that, no offense to him, but it probably, he was on the scouting report, but he wasn't circled or whatever. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, yeah. Well, he played 6 minutes and got 5 offensive rebounds.
I know.
That's
it
crazy.
It was just pure effort.
Yeah, yeah, but for
and
sure.
He was just flying around. And the kid doesn't score or scores a bucket, but, like, he can, after they beat us, obviously, he can go and be like, I made a legitimate impact on that game by just effort.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything skill-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Got a put back, but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Just flew around. I got 6 minutes. I guarantee, like, that coaching staff's like, you know what? Maybe at the later in the season, if there's a game where we can put him in, we trust him. Or going into next year, like, yep, that kid's going to be probably in line to be legitimately in the rotation because he busted his tail. You know, those things win games. But same thing, like I said, going in the second half, just absolutely no energy. No fight. We get down 12 or 13. We do a really good job in the middle of that second half with Huff's crew. Braden comes in, and we start making a run. He actually had a really good game, in my opinion. We played 19 minutes, 6 of 10, 4 rebounds, 14 points, short action, 5 rebounds, excuse me. So played good. And then he had, you know, how the rotations work. EK came in and he played the last about 5.5 minutes. So that from about, I think it was about 11 to 8, 7, we started making a run and we started you know, getting back to looking like Zags, you know, dribble handoffs to layup, turn in the corner, putbacks. Obviously, Anton was killing. We were throwing it to him every time down. That's all we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought Ryan had a good spurt during that time. Ends up having 21 points, 9-19. Not terrible, not great, not bad.
Right.
You know, 9-19 is not terrible at all. But fought because he was bad in the first half. I think he was in the 3-for-9s or something like that. So I think he finished 6-for-10 in the second half. So he had a good second half. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
4 offensive rebounds, 5 assists, no turnovers. So he handled the ball and he handled the pressure. He made enough plays, 1-for-6 from 3. That's another bad 3-point shooting game, but 9-19 overall and gets to 21. If you have that the rest of the year, I'll live with it every single time. And the 5 assists, no turnovers. So I'm not going to hammer his effort, especially in the second half. Graham wasn't good. 5 points, 17 minutes, got in foul trouble, 2-of-6. Fouled out, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in foul trouble at the end of this first half, right?
Yeah.
He had three fouls?
He had three. He had a dumb one. It was just dumb. I don't think it was his fault, but it was also like one of those where you got to kind of know where you're at on the floor. He had one. It was the one where he was going for a loose ball on a rebound, and that's when we were like screaming. The guys were screaming at whoever's on the floor to rebound, as we're getting our ass kicked. And a kid gets it at like our three point line, going there, you know, the opposite floor, and he like runs into him on his back. It's one of those where the official like beep and like looks at him like, ah,
yeah,
because he knows I just gave this guy his third foul. But it's kind of like, dude, what are you doing? Like, get out of the way, like.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just off all night. He didn't look good, just out of rhythm. I thought they did a good job with their bigs. Santa Clara actually has a really nice built roster. Like, they have a bunch of bigs. The Bala kid is a fantastic, like, looks like could be an NBA-type body. We tried to get him years ago. He ended up going to Arizona and then transferred, obviously. But he was sought after at Gonzaga, so, you know, he's good enough to play for us. He's good. He ended up making the game-winning bucket for them, you know what I mean, on just a pure ISO.
Yeah.
But they got that big from that Francisco Cafaro from, where is it at, Virginia. Then their other two bigs are inside. So they're like 6'11", 7 foot, you know what I mean? Like, they don't, they always have bigs that don't look like a WCC big, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like, that type of roster. So they're difficult to play against. And they're one of the schools that I think benefits the most from transfer portal.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mentioned it last week.
Yeah, and they do.
And that's a great example
of it. Yeah, like most of their guys, they reload through the transfer portal. I mean, they've won 20-plus games, I think, three last season. So, like, they went to the NIT. Like, they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, obviously you want to make the NCAA tournament. They're, like, trending in the right direction, and they have a good roster. But they had Pazinski or whatever his name is, playing for the Warriors last year. He literally played like 2 minutes a game at Illinois, and then now he's playing 1 year, and then he's like playing heavy minutes for the Warriors. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a perfect school to transfer to. Like, what if you're a fifth-year guy or, you know, a guy that's played in a bigger program, and you kind of want to not go down a level, but you just want to get to just playing hoops again?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, come to Santa Clara. Like, sure. Like,
right.
I don't know if you've ever walked that campus. It's probably one of the best in the West Coast Conference. Like, facilities, nice, good-looking girls. I'm just, you know, that's a real thing.
Totally.
And obviously the weather is beautiful. You're like in the Bay, so you can get to San Francisco if you want. Mm-hmm. And obviously you can get to LA if you want to drive. You know what I mean? Like, you have every type of option. San Jose's clean. Nice city, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, like, a great place.
They are going to, like, continue to do well in the transfer portal. Because if I was my last year playing college basketball, and you're not going to be, like, a superstar, but, like, sure, I want to have fun and, like, be on a team that, like trying to win.
Yeah.
I'll go to Santa Clara. I mean,
wins like this, too, will help that, too. Yeah. Like,
no, absolutely. So, it was an interesting game. Okay, so, you know, let's... Sorry, I went on a tangent a little bit, but let's get back to, you know, we make that run. Like I said, Huff was playing well. The normal sub is, you know, get Graham back out there. Huff's playing his normal minutes, so it's not like he got 2 minutes and yanked. He played 19 minutes, so he got plenty of time. We get into that last media timeout. We have a couple plays here and there that we do make and then don't make, and the game gets super tight. We get a stop with, what are we, up one? Yeah, we
up
get a,
one, yeah.
A stop up one with Nembhard going to the line. He's our best free throw shooter by percentage. I think he's in the upper 80s, mm-hmm. 89 or something like that. About 30 seconds left, and goes to the line and misses the first of the one-on-one. And it was one of those, yeah. And this is not to be too critical, but like right when it left his end, it's like, oh, that's not going in. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I tell right away, it's like, oh. So they get the rebound, come down, and they just put it in their best player's hands, a ball, Adama Ball, who had a pretty good game, 7-16, had 17 points, but he had a good end of the game
mm-hmm.
and had like an ISO play with Nolan on the left-hand side, like left mid-wing area, and just did like a sweep and go or a hezzy and go and got Nolan in the air and got an and one on it. It was a foul. I remember watching it after because from my angle, it's like, oh, that looked like a cheap foul. But Nolan came underneath him when he landed. So it was the correct call. And one goes in. So you're like, okay, we're down two or we're down one, but there's like 4 seconds left. And it kind of worked out best for Santa Clara. And I want to, you know, just float this idea. Let's say you're up one and we took a timeout and you know we already have a play, an OB under grade, full court play drawn up, Vandy, you know, or whatever it's called. But you can only run it if they make it.
Yeah.
And so you know they're only going to get a three off, so it's kind of like the field goal in football. Like if you're only up one and go up two, it doesn't matter, so you might as well go for the two-point conversion to go up three.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, so you see teams do that now, like in the olden days, take the extra point, you know, but now it's like, no, it's just, it doesn't matter. It's a worthless point.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ball misses the free throw, and we obviously get the rebound, but we got to go the length of the court with no play that you can really run with like 3.5 seconds. So right when he misses, it's like, oh, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
No, we can't run anything. And then, you know, Anton comes down and tries to make a pass. We didn't have a chance. And they win the game, storm the court and all that stuff. But I was sitting there like, I wonder, I doubt it, but I wonder if I'm a coach, like, do I tell my kid to miss that knowing they don't have any timeouts?
Right.
Has to be no timeouts. If they do have timeouts, make it go up to, obviously, you know, they could throw the length, and if they make a two-pointer, you only go into overtime. You know, I mean, you don't lose the game. So it was interesting when he hit that or missed that long free throw. I was like, oh, that actually worked out better for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like I said, they stormed a court first time, and it was, I think it was 26 games.
26, yeah. I think that's the number that...
26 games that haven't beat... or they haven't beat Gonzaga, Santa Clara. So I think it was 2012 or something like that was the actual year date, which is crazy, a decade. Mm-hmm. And with all the good teams they've had, Keating, the head coach before them, had good teams, had good scoring teams, and obviously what's the guy's name? I'm trying to think of his name. It's just completely lost it. What's his name?
The Santa Clara coach?
Yeah.
Oh, like it's, the current...
Sindic. Herb Sindic. I don't know why I keep... Yeah, I don't know why... blanked on that one. He has, you know, obviously good teams with the NIT last year, so mm-hmm. it's just crazy that they haven't dumbed into a win before that.
Right.
You know, there's a bunch of crazy streaks we have with a lot of these clubs. But it was wild, you know, because we're sitting right on the courts, people storming and going crazy, and you know, you're just like, don't run into us, but you're also just like, cool, man, it's cool, you know,
totally.
Kids are having fun, and you know,
what was the atmosphere like? Because that was one thing you were talking about on the radio, is that I feel like every time we kind of got back into the game, they made a three.
I know.
And then just got right back in it. And just like, and that crowd like really did like like if you could, I mean, even on TV, you could hear it. You could feel it.
Well, they did a good job. It was Steve Nash night or whatever.
Oh, that's right.
Steve Nash night, which was cool. They gave out like pretty nice, like throwback jerseys.
Yeah.
So everybody was wearing the 11s old Bronco jerseys and they wore the old ones.
Yeah.
Which were cool. And so the crowd was hyped. He did a good job getting the crowd up. I think it was, they said it was his first time being in the building in like 20 years.
That's crazy.
It's crazy that he never had a chance to go back or didn't want to, or just didn't have time, didn't care, whatever. So the crowd was good. And then, you know, the way we started, and then you're exactly right. Like every time we'd make a push, they made a big time play, or we wouldn't make a play that you're supposed to make. To continue the momentum, like, you know, a fast break that didn't happen, or a pass that should have happened, or late closeout on a three, or a missed ball screen coverage. Like there was a ton of those where you're just like, ah, oh, man, there goes the momentum again. Like we're still in it, but like, dang, man, we got to make those plays. Then we can overtake this. And then, you know, make them be like, oh, here we go again. We were going to lose to Gonzaga once again. You know, that's what happens to a lot of these teams. So
it definitely felt like that the last like 30 seconds. Like we had the lead, we went to line, and like you were like, "Oh, we're gonna sneak out of there with a win.
Steal this one, and then we can, you know, you get a day off or whatever, and then or a unit off, whatever it's called, a segment off in the schedule, and it just didn't happen. Again, we're gonna go broken record here, but look at our 3-point
2-20,
2-for-20, man.
Yeah, that's
just. Just when I thought we were turning the corner, we shot over 40% in the last two games of the first two home openers. So, you know, I did on the last episode, I was like, well, maybe it's starting to come, you know, and the guys are getting their reps in and, you know, they can shoot and they're, you know, blah, blah, blah. They're high level players, all that stuff. And
I mean, that's
just bit us in the ass.
It's crazy. Like that is the game though, because that's 18 empty possessions.
I know.
And
it's
like,
crazy.
They'll only lose by a point. You know, like, it's
crazy. I mean, we shot it, both teams 10 for 14 from the free throw line, so there was no discrepancy on who got a better whistle. They go 9 for 28. It's only 32%, but they get 27 points off threes. Only shoot at 44%. You know, but plus 13 on the glass for Santa Clara. That's a huge... I don't think we've lost double digits to a West Coast Conference team in probably 5 years. And maybe it's happened in a game where we sometimes it goes weird when you shoot like 60% and the other team blows you out on the rebound. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like plus 13 for Santa Clara on the glass is a crazy stat.
That is, yeah.
So I just, again, I got to go back to focus all the some of the little stuff, man, because I could talk about the 3-point shooting, but
yeah, we've talked a lot about that this year.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about it, and again, it's a make or miss deal. But
I was gonna ask, like, is there, I mean, I love making excuses for anything, but like sickness going around, I don't know, like,
I don't know.
Because
I don't
like
think so.
Ben Gregg getting in there for 26 minutes and
you gotta talk about it. He goes he has 22, his career high the game before.
Yeah.
And then 0-for's. And then we got to be fair, Dusty Schroemer, 0-for-2 in 18 minutes, 0 points. You know, one rebound. He got, I know the play that he got, he didn't play the last probably 13 minutes or whatever. He overhelped on a drive by the Cafaro kid, who's not a scoring big. He's kind of just a big dude. And he was driving from, you know, 12 feet and he overhelped and they corner kicked it for a wide open three and made it. And he called timeout and he literally stared at him for 5 seconds and then just subbed him out and didn't play in the rest of the game. But that's focus and stuff.
But that's what you've been talking about all year is that the weak side help? Like,
yeah, like it's on a team like Santa Clara that shoots a ton of threes.
Yeah.
And they shot it, I think 38% going in. So they're statistically one of the better ones in the WCC and one of the better ones statistically on volume in the country, right? If you're shooting in the upper 30s and shooting a ton of them, you're good. And they look at effective field goal percentage. So for them, they go, all right, we only shot 32%, but we get 3 points for a make, obviously. So we get 27 points on 28 field goal attempts.
Gotcha.
Effective field goal percentage. So like a lot of people are like, that's actually pretty good. 1 point a shot.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So like the mindset has changed over the last 5-10 years, especially analytically, especially at the higher levels. If you shoot a ton of threes, you can go 10 for 30 and be like, dude, we got a point every time we shot it.
Yeah.
You know right, what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's different. And that's how some teams view it. I just got to go back to, I don't know if there's mishaps in the locker room as far as leadership. I know, like I said, I know they're prepared. I know they're coached right. I know they're schemed right. I think some of it's got to be, you got to have a little bit more edge. You can't come out flat. You're not good enough to come out flat. And that's just the truth. No team really ever is, but some teams are more talented than others. Like last year, we had some flat moments, but we also had this guy broke the scoring record and another guy that's playing minutes for the defending world champions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we had those two guys. And then totally. Malachi Smith was pretty good. Obviously, Rashear Bolton was pretty good. Yep. You know what I mean? You just go down the line. It's like, well, okay. So I don't know, man. That was a frustrating one.
We're over halfway through the season. Like, can a leader emerge during this? Like,
it's a good question. Like, I mean, I think so, but maybe it's just guys need to be more vocal that, like I mentioned earlier, that are candidates. But also, like, you know, as an individual, like if you go out and play harder, like people will follow as well. So that part was just keeps bothering me. It's just like, didn't play hard at the start and then the start of the second half and then minus 13 on the glass. And then, you know, I think all that stuff filters over to shooting too. And I know it sounds funny, but like if you play hard and put yourself in the right spot, I believe in basketball karma. Like the ball will go in for you eventually. You know what I'm saying? Because you're doing the right things. You're getting all your reps in the, you know, the practice during the week and all that stuff. Like if you play hard and sprint and cut hard and play defense and you know, try to get offensive rebounds, like things will start to go your way. Ball will bounce in. It's basketball karma. So I don't know, man. I was really disappointed. Wasn't disappointed when we lost to Purdue. Wasn't disappointed when we lost to UConn. I mean, obviously we wanted to win, but like as far as like effort and then matchups, like, well, okay. San Diego State, a little bit disappointed. Got pushed around.
Yeah.
Santa Clara, really disappointed. Got pushed around and didn't make enough plays down the stretch. Even if we came and made those free throws, I'd come and say the same thing.
Yeah.
Be like, our effort was terrible. We're lucky to get a win. That would be the only difference. It's like, we were lucky to get a win. And it's a scary proposition going forward if this is how, you know, how we're going to play.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll get better. We got the weird schedule. We're going to play San Diego and Pepperdine again. So we get them out of the way. This is going to be turned out to be a big road trip. As funny as it sounds, I know we beat both teams pretty handily, but we're 0 for 2 on the road.
Yeah.
And then we lost on a neutral in Seattle. It's technically a home game, but right?
Yeah. No,
so,
yeah.
So it's turned out that it's going to be a bigger game than we expect. So Pepperdine first, I think, on Thursday. We've always... The last few years too, we've won by double figures down there, but like Huddy always points it out, he's really good when he dives into the numbers. He's like, we'll be up like 6 with like 6 minutes to go. You know, every time we play down there, it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a crazy crowd. It's mostly a Gonzaga crowd. It's a weird gym. They always just play us good in their home gym, obviously. And then we end up, we won by 14. Good job. And you're just like, man, this was kind of a game with 6 minutes to go. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we better not mess around and have a lackadaisical attitude. So hopefully that message is getting consumed by the players. Because I know it's been addressed.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, man. It's crazy.
It's very crazy.
It's interesting.
One of the notes I put down here that we have to talk about, and I just read it this morning because it came across my phone, is Bracket Watch with Joel Lunardi, and The Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hey,
Hey, it's Olive. I just got my first ICCU debit card. Now I just need some money in my account. If only there was someone who could transfer in some allowance.
Wow.
Bracket Watch with Joel Lenardi, and
we have a bubble team.
We're the first team out.
Wow.
And the last team in is Boise State. And I was just like,
when have we seen that?
The last time I could think it was like 2016, probably when we weren't ranked. But I think we had enough. I think our non-conference record that year was good enough to get us into the tournament without winning the WCC.
Yeah. That is a curious position to be in. Obviously it's going to be something we discuss throughout the year and from week to week obviously how we see wins or losses. But if you're being completely honest right now, and Lenardi's usually pretty spot on,
yeah,
which is crazy. Like, he's usually one or two teams out of 68, like he's one or two on the good side, or you know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. We're probably going to have to win the deal if you just started it today.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
We would, crazy. Yeah. So, I was going to say, maybe our one saving grace is that St. Mary's is 31 in the net ranking. San Francisco's 43. We get to play them
twice, four times.
So, yeah. Those are resume builders. I mean, obviously, as we get closer to the end of the season, it's really going to flesh itself out. But it's one of these years that's just like, as a Gonzaga fan, we don't have them often at all. No. Our streak is 26 years?
26 years.
So,
yeah. Obviously, we got a lot of games left to play.
Yeah.
And we've had teams in the past. I went and watched, obviously my daughter plays for Mead, and so I watched NC Mead boys afterwards, and Abdullah, I always just call him Kuso, who played at Gonzaga, we were talking after the game, and he's, what's going on? I was like, yeah, it was a tough one, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I remember the year after I left, he was on that team with, I think it was the year Heitfeld got suspended. But they still had a good club, but he's like, we fell out of the rankings, and we had like a team talk in the locker room, one of these after practice, like, we're not going to be this effing team. And it ain't going to happen to us. And they figured it out and won the West Coast Conference tournament, made the NCAA tournament. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're like, and he's like, they need to figure that out.
Totally.
And obviously he's was a good player and now coaching, but he understands to be in that position. Like, you need to figure this out, man. So I'm really curious to see how the rest of the season goes, how the effort and the mindset goes. That's what I'm going to be watching from here on out. Obviously, keep track of the three-point shooting and rebounding. The rebounding thing will get fixed, but that was just a tail whipping, man. Minus 13 is crazy. But yeah, the bubble team. I didn't even notice. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, not to be ranked in the AP, and I mean, it's understandable. So it's, you can't really.
Yeah, first time since 2016. It was 142 weeks.
Yeah.
Is what I think I saw.
Mm-hmm.
The difference with that team, that was the 2016. That was the year Shimmick got hurt.
Yeah.
We had Domus and Wiltshire.
Yeah.
Were our two inside guys, and I think Eric McClellan was one of our point guards. Trying to think of that crew, but those two guys are still playing professional basketball.
Yeah. That was more injury, I feel like.
It was just injuries, and then they had some weird losses, but then they figured it out. They had two guys, like Domus is a perennial all-star, and Wiltshire's playing like EuroLeague still, and like the second best league in the world, and like playing heavy minutes. So it's like, it's a little bit different crew. And that's no offense, but that's just the truth. That's a different crew than we have in there now. Not saying any of our guys can't turn into pros, but those are like two, like, I think, I've heard me say this a million times. I think Domus is the best big ever here. If you just go down on like total resume.
Totally.
You know what I mean? And that's a lot of really good bigs, but I'm like Domus. I've always said that. I'm like, Domus is my favorite player. So it's going to be interesting, man. I haven't given up on this team. I know other people haven't. But when there's lack of effort and focus, I will always say it. on this podcast all the time. I'll say it on the air too, every time. Because if you bring effort and focus and a little piss and vinegar, like, things will go your way. And if you, sometimes you lose a game where you're battling your tail off, I always come in and we're like, yeah, that was a tough loss. We really played hard. This one was like, wow, that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, effort was not there. Start of each half. First half, second half, terrible. Glass, terrible. Decision making, terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you just go down the line. It's like, bad, bad, bad. It's like, if it wasn't for Anton going 14 of 18 and then Ryan having a good second half, we would have lost by 10.
Yeah.
10 plus. And it would be easy. So that's what I'm going to be really looking for, especially on this first, you know, this road trip coming up with San Diego and Pepperdine. Obviously, we just played them, but we're not in a look ahead mode.
No, we're not. I mean, I was going to say, like,
close.
Like, last time we had this conversation, we lost to San Diego State and we were on our way to play Pepperdine and
San Diego.
And I was like, well, these are get right games. And like, well, these are get right games, but like, even if we do win, like, we still have to think about everything else still. Like, 100%. it's not like get right, because they can come back and lay another egg.
Yeah. I agree. It's going to be an interesting back half of this season here. And do they have the talent and the, you know, the want? I know they have the talent.
I was going to ask, like, is it like this team isn't because of their lack of talent that they're losing, right?
I don't think so. I think the shooting part, you can attribute it to, I guess, shooting talent. I mean, that'd be fair assessment. Not saying the guys can't shoot, but you got to, if they're not making them, then I kind of have to be like, eh, you can't shoot. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of hard. You know, you get put in a weird spot because you don't want to, like, call a guy like he can't shoot, but we're getting to a point where, like, man, this guy's just got to make. Got to start making threes. Graham Ike was the Mountain West Player of the Year, a year and a half ago. So obviously he can play on a team that went to the NCAA tournament. Ryan Nemhard averaged 12.5-13 on a very good Creighton team last year. Anton was fantastic last year's, having a breakout season this year. I think he's a true NBA guy, has a chance to play in the NBA. You know, Dusty Stromer was a four-star recruit. You know, big time recruit. Nolan was a big time recruit that was supposed to go to Kentucky and then switched last second. So obviously he was getting recruited by, you know, and Braden Huff was Illinois Player of the Year. I think Ben Gregg was that Oregon player.
Yeah.
So like, it's not like we're having like diamond in the rough guys that didn't turn into a diamond. Right. So these are good enough players. So I don't think it's a talent thing, honestly. I think it's a focus thing. I think it's maybe an internal leadership thing. You know, like I said, the coaching staff, they prepare, and guys are going to have to kind of figure it out. So that's what I'm looking for from here on out is effort, you know, camaraderie, togetherness, all those cliche things that everybody kind of rolls their eyes at until it doesn't go your way and they show up. It's time now to, like, put those things together.
Yeah.
So it's fun. It's a nervous feeling now. Cause I don't want to be, have those kids have that feeling if the NIT word comes into effect or bubble team or whatever. So it's like, it's kind of a, hey man, like, some of you guys are not familiar with, I guess, the Gonzaga brand or like the pride that people have with this, but like, be a scarlet letter, man, if you don't make it to the NCAA tournament. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock, but that's just, we're just going with the complete reality of this town and how people feel about the program and how much success other guys have had and all those things ahead of them. So plenty of games left.
Plenty.
But like I said, it's got to be from the locker room. It's got to, you know,
yeah,
it's got to be the guys in the locker room. It can't be just, hey, you guys need to play better, play hard. It's like, you know, it's got to be, somebody's got to stand up and like, this is bullshit, man. Like, getting beat by 18 in the first half on the glass. And then like, hey man, let's get in the gym together. Or like, hey man, let's just play with confidence and let this thing rip. And if we start making some threes, let's say everybody on the bench start going fucking crazy, slapping the floor. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you got to get yourself going, diving on the floor, all that stuff. So we'll see. Looking forward to these week's games. But it's a weird schedule again. I don't know what the WCC is thinking. I'll just play those right away. But yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for helping me out, Brendan, on this one. Thank you to our sponsors, McGilvery Environmental, Idaho Central Credit Union, and HDG Architecture. We'll be back recapping the games and talking about you know, what's coming down the pike and where we sit with the bracketology or whatever it's called, the Lenardi's deal. And hopefully we'll move into the first four in or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, seriously.
No, seriously. Yeah, no, know, like,
it's like, and then string some wins together, and then so then there's a little bit less of a you know, anxiety. But you made a good point about the net rankings for San Francisco and St. Mary's. There are some good opportunities to get some, you know, net building wins on the, it's not completely doom and gloom in that regard. And it's not just wait till February for the WCC tournament. You know, like, okay, we could still get it to maybe we get into the, you know, mid 40s, high 30s in the net. Mm-hmm. And if you're in that, you're usually pretty safe. So
totally.
So, all right. Appreciate it.